You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. I'm your host, Raymond Pronk. Today we'll have one story, and it'll probably be a little longer show than in the past week because I am recovering, believe it or not. I haven't had any coughing spells today, which is good sign, but I'm still a little bit tired from this cold that really is going around the Dallas area. A number of people have had it. It seems to be rotating around, and it usually lasts between a week to 2 weeks. I had it for about 10 days and still have a little bit, just a tiny bit of it. It's more fatigue than anything else. So I'm bouncing back, and I'll get back to my hour shows Monday through Thursday and then my two-hour show on Friday. Today, what I want to talk about is the idea that Ralph Nader, the consumer advocate attorney, has a new book out, and he's advocating that the progressives get together with the libertarians, or what I call the classical liberals, which is my political philosophy, because there are certain issues that there could be an alliance to push some legislations and get laws passed. I think it's a terrible idea for the simple reason, if you follow the life of Ralph Nader, he's been really had a career going after businesses. Now, I have no problem if consumers are hurt by businesses to file lawsuits against them. That should be done and is done every day. That's why we have a court system. So where you have some either bad practices or bad players that take advantage of the American consumer, one of the things that people can do is sue them. Now, you might say, well, that's not very practical, and I'll be the first one to agree. But the beauty of our system is this. If you learn that a product or service, let's say, is of poor quality, it doesn't live up to expectations, what can you do? Well, the simple thing to do is don't buy any more of it and pass the word to your friends, your neighbor. And that's what many people do. Word of mouth is very, very important. Reputation is very, very important. So where you have a bad actor, however you want to describe it, in an industry, there are ways to put them out of business. And that's simply don't buy stuff from them, whatever it is, whether it's a car, an appliance. If you think you're being cheated, walk. It's called consumer sovereignty. You have the right to choose what goods and services you want to buy and what you want to use. Now, I was trying to think of something recently where, and I do have a good example. I bought a car to carry my lunch, some beverage containers, books, papers, pens, as well as my earphones and flash drive. It cost me $35, and I like the product. I like the frame. I like the pack that was on the frame, and initially, I liked the wheels, and I bought it last November, got it in the mail. A friend of mine ordered it for me and then brought it in because my apartment complex doesn't take packages. So to avoid that problem, she said, oh, no problem. I gave her the money. She got it. And she has one that had no problems with it. Slightly different model, but in essence, the same. I call it a cart. Think of it as a container, cloth container. You could put it on your back, but this was made to sit on a cart, and it has wheels that would climb the stairs. It has three wheels on each side. So if you wanted to, and that's one of the things that initially attracted to me, because I have some stairs both leading up to my apartment, as well as there's some stairs on the Richland College campus. Not a lot, but if I needed to, I could do it. And I used, and for the first, I would say, 3 months, no problem. I really, really liked it. Now, what happened? And I'm really not sure it was my fault or the design of this product. And I'm using this just as an example. But I paid a total of $35. As of Sunday, this last Sunday, I retired that. Because what happened? The wheel rims were made of plastic. And this product was made in China. The whole thing was made in China. Probably designed in the United States, but made in China. And two of the wheels on one side broke off. There is plastic rims that cracked, and the plastic fell out. And what happened is the wheel, the rubber, if you will, of the wheel, then no longer ran straight because the rim was broken. Now, why is that important? Now, what is my recourse in this situation? Am I going to sue the manufacturer of this or complain to the mail order house that had this? Maybe that's a potential avenue. But I thought about it, and I said maybe it's partly my fault in the sense that it was only on one side, which was suspicious because the wheels on the other side ran perfect. They're in perfect condition, still working. But on one side closest to me, I'm right-handed, so it was the inside set of wheels. First one, then another, and now all three of them, the rims broke. So for all practical purposes, the wheels won't go around. They won't go straight. So it was unusable. Initially, when it was only one wheel, I had two good ones, no problem. Even when the second wheel went out, if it was on the rear, no problem, because I had one good wheel in the front. I'm giving this as an example. We buy literally hundreds of goods and services over a year's time. And many of these products last many, many years, whether it's clothing, books, stereo equipment, appliances. We expect a certain lifetime of usage. And I expected to be able to use this cart at least for several years. Maybe not forever, but at least several years. So I shopped in a catalog, bought this. I talked to the person who had the similar, no problems. She doesn't have the problems I have, which I scratched my head because then I said, well, maybe I'm doing something that other people aren't. Now, I put this container with wheels and a handle on it. It's one of these things that fold up in the trunk of my car. And that's really where I think the damage happened because it moved around when I was driving. Now, what does this have to do with Ralph Nader? He's not going to launch a crusade on a $35 item. And I have a decision to make. Okay, am I going to waste my time trying to get another set of wheels that may or may not break again? That's one option. I don't think I'm going to get very far with it, but I could try. Or I could go back to another cart and that's what I did. I had a previous cart that I bought, perfectly functional, but it didn't carry as much it was a smaller size, and it only had really one set of wheels that were a lot noisy. But it did the job. It didn't carry everything I wanted, and it didn't have the pockets on it. The handle is not as nice, and that cost me $25. So the price between the two are not that far apart. And I kept the old one, just in case. I had a problem with that one, too. The back had a stand, and what happened is, again, because of the design, the stand, the two legs broke off. Again, made in China. Probably designed in the United States, the specifications. I'm speculating here. I don't know. I'm sure, though, that whoever designed this had them made in China. And the mail order houses, you've seen them. They'll have all these items you can go through, and you might see one or two that interests you, and you buy it through the mail. People do it every day. But that's one of the problems when you are dealing with, first, the manufacturer of it is in China. I don't know who. I don't have the slightest idea what company in China produced it. But it says made in China, and I really don't have any idea who in the United States designed it. The only really business I'm dealing with is that mail order. And I don't really think that they're going to give me the time of day. They might note it. And I say that because I know what their going to reaction be. Well, we don't know if you mistreated or misused this pack. Even I don't know that. Because like I said, another lady has been using the same, more or less identical product. No problems with it. I don't know what she's doing. Maybe she's more careful. putting it in and out of a trunk. Because hers still works. I see her. She works as a copy editor in the Richland Chronicle. And if she's in the Richland Chronicle office, invariably she has that cart with the container on it. And she likes it. And that's why I got it, because I asked her, you know, I'm real happy with it. She showed me it, much bigger. And initially, I was very, very happy with the product. Now, what would you do? What am I going to do? I'm probably going to have to shop for a new container, because why the one I have now I'm going to make do, it simply is not large enough. I need a slightly larger container to carry my things, you know, lunch, beverages, flash drives, books, papers, headphones. It's just not big enough. Now, what can we learn from here? First, there's competition in the marketplace. There are several alternatives here. One could be an attaché case. One could be a backpack. One could be simply carry a canvas bag. That's the beauty of the free market capitalist system. You have choices. And if you're not happy with if you make a choice and it turns out to be the wrong choice, take your business elsewhere. Learn from your mistakes. I have learned by buying these two containers that I use to haul my stuff around when I'm on the Richland campus. Look at the wheel rims. If those wheel rims were made of steel, it probably would still be working. So when I'm going to go shopping, I'm definitely going to check out those wheel rims. I'm also, if it has stands that so your container can be upright, make sure that cannot fall off or rip off. I'm going to look at the handle. So you learn by your mistakes. I'm out money. I paid a total of $55 for these two items. One is still functional. The other one simply is not. Now, the frame is in good condition, as well as the container that you slip over the frame. But the problem is the wheels. If you're mechanically inclined, I'm not, but if you're mechanically inclined, what I should do, and probably will try first, is to look for another set of wheels, or maybe two set of wheels, where the rims are made of steel, so I don't have this problem. The problem with plastic is just the wear and tear. It's going to crack. If it's not the weather, you're going to bang it around, it's going to hit something, it cracks, and then before you know it, the wheel is off the rim. Now, this might seem like a big detour, but it isn't. Multiply that by hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of products. Businessmen are competing for your business. They have competitors. They're alternative goods that people can buy, depending upon their income, depending upon their preference. I can remember for many, many, many years, over 40 years, all I used to carry books, papers, and let's say a bag of lunch were attaché cases because I was in business. And I must have had at least half a dozen attaché cases, both leather and Samsonite, and I've given up maybe a dozen. And some of them were strictly for making presentations. Others were strictly for carrying papers, folders, books in when I was traveling. But I had a wide range of choices, both in the quality and the price, from many manufacturers. And what happens over time, you have fads. What I've noticed on this college campus, and I'm sure on other college campuses, very few use attaché cases. Now, in the business world, I still think they use it, but I'm not sure. I'm sure some people do. Some had the old-fashioned what you use for school, a big briefcase. But the beauty of the American system, the capitalist system, is the consumers reward those businesses that produce goods or services that meet their needs and preferences as well as their budget. And it can be as simple as a container to bring your lunch and your books to school. Now, today on most college campuses, most students use backpacks. That is the standard way to carry your books, your water bottles, your lunch, your computers, by far. And you have you have at least a dozen different vendors that make various sizes and quality of these backpacks. You can spend quite a bit of money just on a backpack. And it really starts at an early age, because people in elementary school and in junior high and high school also have backpacks. When I was growing up, what we usually took was a paper bag to carry our lunches and would carry our books in our hands, usually a notebook and several books. I'm dating myself here. Now most people, or most children, students from K to really 12th grade, have backpacks, again, that are scaled up as people grow older. And you got to watch your backpack, because there are people that will steal them. And I can remember we had lockers, especially in high school and junior high, where you could put your lunch. And you had a lock, so you could put your lunch and your books in your locker. And then, depending on what period it was, you could go get the book or get your notebook. If it was lunchtime, you could go to your locker and get your lunch. If you had gym that day, you might have a gym bag. But the point I'm trying to make, did a state provide, did the government, did the state of Texas or the federal government provide me with a backpack or an attaché case or a container? No, they did not. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? The government would supply you with that? Yet we have people today that believe it's the government's responsibility to provide certain goods and services, such as health insurance. And I keep scratching my head. We had a perfectly working health insurance industry that has been ruined by Obamacare. And they don't want Obamacare. They really don't. They want single payer, where the only one supplying the health care is the government. That's the called single payer system, where the government is the single payer. They don't want competition. They don't want you to have consumer sovereignty. They don't want you to have choice. They don't want you to have a broad range of options and features that you want. Yet we have a political party, the Democratic Party. That's what they're peddling. That's what they're pushing. And that, frankly, is what Ralph Nader is pushing. He's for a big advocate of single payer. And see, that's part of the problem with Ralph Nader and the progressives. They don't want you to have the choice. They believe they know better. They will decide for you, and you will buy what they tell you. Don't fall for that malarkey. It is elitism, folks. It's the elitism of the worst kind. Because they'll tell you what you must have, why they get their medical care someplace else. Why? Because they can afford it. They want to eliminate competition so you don't have the choice. What they really want to do is eliminate consumer sovereignty. Now, for most, I won't say all, but for most goods and services, the sheer beauty of the American system is you have choices, whether it's a cell phone or a backpack or different types of beverages or foods. Go to any grocery store and see the choices you have. And you can get a broad range of prices. I've used this example in the past. I like to eat cereal for breakfast. I like shredded wheat. I like cornflakes. I like Rice Krispies. And I like Raisin Bran. Now, there are other cereals I simply don't like and I don't eat. But those are the four major types. That's the first point I'm making. For example, I don't like oatmeal for breakfast. I don't like eggs and bacon for breakfast. That's just me. So invariably, what I eat every day for breakfast is a bowl of cereal with skim milk and a banana. Today, I had raisin bran. The day before, I had shredded wheat, and tomorrow, I'll probably have Rice Krispies. That is the beauty of consumer sovereignty. That's why the consumer should be king, should be the person deciding, not some bureaucrat or politician in Washington, D.C., or an attorney that thinks he knows better and he knows what you should eat for breakfast. You see, no one would try this because the American people would revolt. It's not that they don't think about it. They want to tell you. For example, the mayor of New York wanted to restrict the size of the drink you could buy. Mr. Mayor, it's none of your damn business. And that's the point. Stay out of other people's lives. Mind your own business. And that is the problem of the progressives. They want to use the state or the government to mind your own business. They want to do away with consumer sovereignty. They are collectivists. They are statists, and they want to use the power of the state to coerce and force you to change your behavior as well as buy certain products. And Exhibit A is Obamacare. And they've royally screwed it up. I think intentionally screwed it up. And the American people don't like it because most people get their health insurance through their business, through their employer. And most, like 80 to 90%, we're completely satisfied with. But we have government intervention into this marketplace, really destroying a system that was working, and to replace it by a government design plan. One size fits all. Yes, they have the bronze, the silver, the gold, and platinum, but there's not much difference between them. There's some, but not much. And they put in these plans many services that most people don't want. But we know better than you. You bought these inferior plans. Excuse me, where do you get off telling me that my product is inferior when your own design product is a lot more expensive with much higher deductibles and less choice in terms of doctor and hospital? How dare they try to pull that nonsense? And that's why the American people are revolting. This was jammed down the throats of the American people, and come November, the Democratic Party is going to pay a very stiff price for trying to do this. And that is the problem of statists and collectivists. They are elitists that think they know best, and you're to shut up and obey. And if you don't obey, we'll hit you with an IRS penalty. So I don't agree with Ralph Nader because he's a big supporter of large government. He's very much anti-business. The only area I agree with him is if you have been wronged, in other words, swindled or given a defective product, you have certain remedies. On small items, it doesn't make sense to sue the business, but on larger items, it does. And that's where Ralph Nader has made his reputation. He's known as a consumer advocate. That's fine if that was all he's about. But he's a big supporter of single payer. A big supporter. A true believer in it. He's a true believer on climate change. Now that is the biggest fraud perpetuated on the American people. Climate is always changing. The problem is man's impact on that is minuscule. In other words, man could eliminate all his carbon emissions and still there's some major causes that result in climate. Man's not the problem, but they're perpetuating a fraud on the American people that if they got their way would mean much higher electric bills, much higher energy prices. Oh yes, Ralph's against coal, Ralph's against nuclear, Ralph's against oil. And you better believe he's against the pipeline. What is he for? Very expensive wind turbines and solar panels that are highly inefficient, highly expensive. See, folks, that's the problem with these collectivists and statists. They believe they know best, and they want to force their preferences onto you, tell you what you can buy, tell you how much you're going to pay, and limit your choice to what the government says you should be buying. So I don't think it's a very good idea for any libertarian to fall for Ralph Nader's nonsense. The answer, Mr. Nader, is not voting Democrat or Republican. There we have some agreement. The answer is a third party of independents that are tired of both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. Both parties are ignoring the will of the American people. That's why there's a lot of unrest and a lot of frustration of what's going on in Washington, D.C. That's why more and more people are leaving both political parties, and that is why the number of independents is growing, growing, and growing, and it's only a matter of time before over 50% of the American people are neither Democrats or Republicans. The American people want to be left alone. They don't want to be told what they have to buy and how much they have to pay for it. And that is the danger of these statists. That is what they're about. They're about limiting your freedom, limiting your choice, limiting what you can buy. The world's not perfect. There are always going to be bad actors in any industry. Call them bad apples, whatever you want to label. But for every one of those, there's 10 reputable businesses that are providing goods and service to the public at affordable prices and listening to what the public wants. And if I got took on this relatively inexpensive purchase, I spent $35 thinking that container, it's 8 out of cloth on a frame on wheels, was going to last me at least several years, 2 or 3 minimum. I didn't think it was going to last a lifetime. I didn't think it was going to last 10 years. But I a reasonable expectation on my part, probably 3 to 5 years. It didn't last but 7 months. It's not that it's totally a write-off. The frame is perfectly good, as is the container. It's made out of cloth with pockets in it. And one set of wheels works. The other, though, needs to be replaced. And it's probably somewhere in $5 to $10 if I could get a hold of the wheels. But who knows made the wheels? Any product like this, you have several manufacturers building parts that are assembled. And that's why I use this as an example. Now, I don't think many libertarians are going to fall for this progressive propaganda. Even though there are some issues that libertarians and progressives can get together, at least some of them. Not very many. Because libertarians or classical liberals are for limited government. One of the problems we have today is government is simply too big. It's out of control. It is spending more money than the American people can pay. We need to control deficit spending. And to the extent you can find some progressives that want to do that, fine. You see, the problem, ladies and gentlemen, it is the progressive movement, both in the Republican Party and the Democratic Party over the last 110 years, that have advocated bigger and bigger and bigger government to the point it's totally out of control, where 35 cents or 35% or every dollar the government is spending today, they have to borrow. You can't keep doing this because it will lead to not only economic stagnation, which is exactly what we have, persistently high unemployment rates and low growth rates, and we will be getting, mark my words, just like the 70s, another period of high inflation rates. It's only a matter of time. And if you don't believe me, I was driving into work today. Well, let me back up. Last night, I was driving home. And every night, I have to pass a gas station. This gas station is on the side road of 635. It gets a lot of business from that highway. I'm not going to give the name of the... It's a big chain. It was $3.45. That was when I was driving home last night. Today, driving to this school, what do you think the price of gasoline is? What do you think the price of a gallon of gasoline regular is? Hang on to your seats. It went up to $3.70. $3.70. Now, some of you will say, oh, it's the big bad oil companies. They're gouging the consumers. We got to go after Exxon and Mobil. No, it's not. No, it's not. And why I'm generally opposed to government regulation, there are instances where you need it. And one place you need government regulation is in the future contracts business. And the reason why your gas prices have been going up and down, been highly volatile, just this year it's been from about $3.25 to now $3.70. What's going on? What's driving that? It's excessive speculation by who? Primarily hedge funds and investment banks and certain commercial banks that are betting on the future price of gasoline and petroleum. Now, we didn't have this problem many years ago, but what happened? We deregulated the futures market. See, at one time, speculators, and I'm not against speculation, could have up to 30% of the contracts written on the various exchange that trade these securities. And that's what they are. And as a result, your gas prices, your heating oil prices were determined by both the producers and consumers of those commodities. Not anymore. Now the price of your gasoline is, for all practical purpose, determined by speculators. Because today, over 80% of those contracts are written or taken out on either side of the transaction by speculators that are betting on the future price of gasoline and oil. And that is affecting every American citizen. Now, this would be an issue I think Ralph Nader might agree with me, might. Although I have a little suspicion that he might not. Who does this benefit, this gyrating, highly volatile speculation in such commodities as oil? Obviously, the people engaged in it benefit, but also the politicians that get their campaign contributions from these Wall Street firms. And I say Wall Street just as an identifier. A lot of them are not on Wall Street, but they are in the financial service industry. They're primarily hedge funds, investment banks, and to a certain extent, commercial banks, the banks you have your money in. They're making profits, and most of this is highly leveraged. You see, there's a lot going on here. There are a lot of moving parts. I'm not against government regulation. The mistake was to go to an unregulated system that we have today. If we went back to the prior system, this volatility in gasoline prices would be largely eliminated. And then your gasoline prices would be determined by the supply and demand for oil. It's not today. It's just people gambling and flipping contracts. And you would think that the Democratic Party, as well as the Republican Party, would go after this because it's affecting everybody, everybody. If you drive a car or truck, you got to buy gasoline. So there are going to be issues such as this one. I haven't seen Ralph get on the bandwagon on this one. And there's, I think, a reason for it. He knows who's making these campaign contributions to the Democratic Party, so the regulations don't change. Hey, Ralph, why don't we join on this one? You see, there's always going to be an issue where you can get a coalition of people from both the left and the right, the progressives, the libertarians, as well as the conservatives. But that's not what's happening today. The problem in Washington is both political parties are controlled by what I call the bigs. Big interventionist government status. That's what they're about. They are in bed with the corporations, especially your very large corporations. No doubt about that. Because they're not listening to you or me. They are not. Now, what's interesting, very interesting, John Boehner made a speech, I believe it was to a Rotary Club, back in Ohio. And John Boehner's that kind of Republican. He's going to go to the Rotary or the Chamber of Commerce or local organizations that support him. And he was sort of being dismissive of the Republicans that are against comprehensive immigration reform, which is a code word for giving amnesty to 30 to 50 million illegal aliens, not 11 million. But today he walked back that statement. Now, why? He has a political problem. There are a significant number of Republicans, and I will say the majority of them, that simply do not trust President Obama to enforce existing immigration law. And that is smart, because he's not enforcing it. The word has gone out. The number of apprehensions are way, 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 way down. And for every one apprehension, 3 to 5 illegal aliens get into the United States. I'm not going to get onto that, but what did Boehner have to do? He had to listen to the people in the Republican caucus, because they know, and anyone with common sense understands this, if comprehensive immigration reform goes through, within a matter of 10 years, you'll have between 30 and 50 million illegal aliens become citizens. And these will vote largely for the Democratic Party. And once that happens, the Republicans can forget about controlling the House, the Senate, or the presidency. That's why the Democratic Party is pushing for illegal aliens to get citizenship. That's the only reason. It's power, folks. And these are people that believe in big government. And they're in both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party. I'm looking at the clock. I'm out of time. But as far as Ralph Nader's idea of progressives and libertarians getting together and we would be unstoppable, that's an interesting book title, Mr. Nader, but this is one libertarian that's not going to fall for it, because there are very few issues that we really can get together, because you're on the total opposite side of where you're on the side that's made this country worse. And if you don't believe me, look at Obamacare and look at out-of-control government spending. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of anyone at KDUX, Richland College, or the DCCD.